This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It is now time to talk Mavs as Bobby Carella, an expert Mavs insider, Mavs.com, joins you now here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing great. We all picked Mavs to win this series. Obviously, game one was humbling. How easy do you think it is going to be for the Mavs to make adjustments and have a better result tonight?
You know, on the one hand, I think it'll be pretty easy because they did just about everything you could possibly do wrong in the first half of that game. And in the second half, I mean, it was a totally different game. Now, granted, they were down 29 points before they touched the ball for the first time in the third quarter. But it seemed like they might have found a little something. And so if you can just avoid having the worst half of your season for the second game in a row, then I think they're going to have a much better chance to win the game. That said, the Clippers are going to have a chance to make some adjustments, too, based on what happened in the second half. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be like a cakewalk by any measure. But, I mean, I certainly expect, at minimum, a much, much, much more competitive game tonight from start to finish.
Yeah, I think if I'm the coaching staff, I want to see what that looks like with an inspired performance. You know, I have to imagine pride gets on the line. They look at that film, and there's going to be a lot of guys fired up to make a great impression tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, in the first half, the Clippers, they started something like 7 of 11 from 3. And, you know, they hit a couple backbreakers, right, like late in the shot clock where you defend well for 22 seconds and they're still able to knock one down. But, you know, part of the reason that those couple makes stick out so much is because those were really like the only times where the Mavs strung together 20 good seconds of defense. Like a lot of the Clippers shots, especially in the first quarter, just came too easy and too early in the shot clock. Like they weren't really having to work for anything. It was Zubats post up, dump it down, one dribble, two dribble, turn and score. Or like swing, swing, open three. And, you know, the Mavs just didn't really make them work very hard. Where was that number one defense down the stretch? And at halftime, the switch flipped. And, I mean, in out of respect for the Clippers, like they still shot 50% from three for the game. It's not like they simply stopped playing after halftime. But the Mavs did make them work just a little harder. And they were able to string together some stops, force some turnovers and get out in transition and make something happen. So, I mean, a switch definitely flipped. It's just, it's got to be frustrating for Mavs fans to see, like, why did it take a 29-point deficit for that switch to flip?
Yeah, Bobby, what do you think Tyronn Lue, what he threw at them, how unique was some of the things that he was doing and how easy will it be for the Mavericks to be able to combat some of those things?
I wouldn't say that what they were doing was necessarily unique. I think in the first half, especially in the second quarter, when things were getting real uncomfortable and the gap was widening, you know, the Clippers did mix up their coverages on Luka a little bit, and there wasn't really like a rhyme or reason to it. Like some teams, if Luka's on the left side of the floor, they'll double. If he's on the right side of the floor, they'll drop. And if he's in the middle of the floor, they'll switch. Like to where they are doing different things, but you can kind of figure it out over 48 minutes and be able to guess what they're doing. But the Clippers were just mixing it up almost every time down the floor, even, you know, not out of a timeout where they would have a chance to talk about it or whatever. So there was a little bit of cat and mouse there between the Clippers coaching staff and Luka. But what they were doing with their guys on the weak side, what they were doing with their low men, and kind of like how they were defending in rotation, none of it was super unconventional or, you know, really hard to make sense of. I mean, they played a good, clean game. And, you know, maybe it took a little bit for Luka to figure out what they were doing. But, you know, really, I think what hurt the Mavs a lot, especially in that first half, was, you know, role players like Dante Exum, Derek Jones, Maxi Kleba, those three in particular, just kind of maybe a little hesitant, a little reluctant to put the ball on the floor and attack. And the Clippers were really, really packing the paint with bodies. And so, you know, there were a couple plays where Jones in particular was able to put the ball on the floor, but he was greeted by three or four guys at the rim and he wasn't able to get all the way there and finish. He had to settle for a kind of like floater push shot. And that's just not really his game. So, you know, I think with the way the Mavs play and with kind of like the strengths and also weaknesses of their supporting players, so much of their offense is predicated on Luka and Kyrie breaking their guy down on the perimeter and getting into the teeth of the defense. And so until those guys are able to do it every single time down the floor, it's going to be a little tougher for everybody else. And so I think, you know, their success has to start and finish with Luka and Kyrie for sure.
Hey, Bobby, a team that's old and plays slow but knocks down shots. How do you combat that, you know, with if you look at how the Clippers play?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Clippers are going to mismatch Hunt Luka a lot. You know, we saw them do that almost every single possession, trying to force Luka to switch onto Harden or onto Paul George. And so a lot of pressure is going to be on him, not only to help carry the load on offense, but also to dig in and, you know, pull his shorts up and get down in a stance and defend every single time. And if you can do that, you know, if you can be, you know, if you can have some good, solid point of attack defense and prevent breakdowns, then you can force the Clippers into a lot of slow, drawn out, long, isolation heavy possessions where there's really not a lot of penetration. You know, they're not forcing the Mavs to get into rotation. You're not finding open shooters in the corner. You know, the Mavs kind of can grind their offense to dust if they just have discipline on the perimeter. But where they got in trouble, especially in the first half, was, you know, for starters, it's much harder to defend after you miss a shot because you're having to get back in transition. But then also, if you're hanging your head, or if you're just not communicating, or like Daniel Gafford picked up a foul like a minute into the game, and so for the rest of the first quarter, he was kind of having to defend with one hand behind his back. You know, that's whenever you can start really getting exposed. And then also, you know, Terrence Mann himself had four offensive rebounds, and he's like 6'2", 6'3". So it's on everybody to not only force a tough shot, but also to finish the possession. I mean, it was really, you know, in my estimation, upon rewatching the game, it was a lot of just like attention to detail stuff and intensity in the first half. And Kyrie Irving kind of echoed that after the game. So, I mean, they have to take care of those details. Otherwise, you know, they are going to put themselves in some tough situations.
Bobby, is the fact that the game was played during the day have anything to do with how the Mavs came out, or is that just being too simple?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Clippers are going to play during the day too, you know,
but I was talking to some folks with the Mavs. I was talking to some folks with the Mavs, and they were talking about Gafford and that he didn't particularly play well in day games. And it just kind of made me think a little bit about that. I don't know. I was just trying to offer something that looked really bad out there the other day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's something to think about. You know, Gafford did definitely come out with, you know, maybe a little less juice. A little less fuel in the tank than he normally does. But some of that could also be just, hey, he wasn't expecting that level of physicality and intensity.
Yeah.
You know, and he and everybody else are going to have to pick it up tonight. But yeah, I'll make excuses for some of the guys all day, but I don't really want to use the clock as an excuse.
Sure.
Here we go. It's Bobby Krell at Mavs.com, Chief.
How important are the role players and the shooting? And I know that this is not the best shooting supporting cast that Luka has ever played with, but, I mean, who are the guys that you feel like you can trust to knock down some shots here? Is it Exum? Is it Green? It can't be Maxi or Derek Jones Jr.
Yeah, and the Clippers were really daring Jones, especially to shoot. You know, they did close out on him hard a couple times, but for the most part, they were going to let him and let PJ Washington and let Maxi shoot. I was pretty surprised that they actually did close out pretty hard on Exum a few times. So I wonder if they see his percentages and, you know, kind of consider him to be a threat. But yeah, I mean, you know, throughout the season, when those guys in particular, like Exum, Jones, Maxi, and Josh Green, when any or all of them have been struggling, they do tend to pass up threes, or maybe they think they have a shot, but they kind of like pump fake or hesitate for just a second. Now they don't anymore, and they're like, oh, what do I do? And then the next thing you know, there's 5-6 seconds left in the possession and you're having to settle for something worse. So, you know, those guys are going to have to just shoot without a conscience. You know, they're going to have to be confident and let that thing fly, because if the Clippers are going to continue defending Luka and Kyrie this way, where, you know, they're not necessarily hard doubling, but they're just loading the paint and just putting limbs and bodies and size everywhere, then those gaps around the rim are going to be really, really tiny, you know, and those shooters are going to have to let that thing fly. They're going to have half a second to get rid of it before Russell Westbrook's come screaming out at you, waving his hands like a maniac to freak you out. Mm-hmm. But you have to put that thing up with confidence and see it go through, because if those guys can heat up, even if one of them can heat up or two of them can heat up, suddenly the Clippers can't sell out so much to stop that dribble penetration, and all of a sudden it makes Luka and Kyrie's job easier. So it's kind of this symbiotic thing where the better Luka and Kyrie play, the better the looks are for everyone else are going to be. Or if those guys that are getting looks and knocking them down, then all of a sudden Luka and Kyrie are going to have a whole lot more space to work with.
When the Mavs are on defense, was game one, is it Ty Lue just hunting Kyrie and Luka and forcing them into some tough spots?
Yeah, it was a lot of hunting those guys, you know, and I mean, the Clippers they shot something like, I forget what the stat was, I saw it on Twitter. They shot like 65% on tightly defended threes, and they took like 13 of them or something. I mean, they made a lot of tough shots, but yeah, I mean, it was a lot of trying to force Luka or Kyrie into the action against Harden in particular, and sometimes against Paul George, and then using the Mavs as maybe, you know, there were communication breakdowns, or they were trying to commit to a double team, which allowed the Clippers to play 4-on-3, and then you're able to, you know, play tic-tac-toe and find the weak side shooter or the guy at the rim for a layup or a dunk. And so, you know, I think if the Mavs try and, you know, the Clippers are such a good shooting team that I don't think the Mavs can overcomplicate things on defense. Like, I think they have to switch all this stuff and just say, Luka and Kyrie, we need you on offense, but we also need you on defense. You know, we can't double team and blitz and trap these guys. They're too good of playmakers,
yeah.
And the Clippers are one of the best shooting teams in the league. They got guys that can knock down shots up and down the roster. We cannot afford to leave those guys open. We need you to make it tough on Harden and George. And the luxury that those guys have, you know, if Luka's on an island against Harden, the luxury you have is, first off, you know Harden is left-handed, and he always is going to finish with his left. He's not going to go right or shoot right or finish to his right. So just stay to his left hand. Steer him into your big man, because the Clippers kept size on the floor, so the Mavs can too. You know, steer him into your big man for some protection at the rim, and all of a sudden you don't have to shut him down. You can just take away his fastball and allow your big man to clean up the mess, you know, after it's over. So if they can defend as a five-man unit, I think they'll be fine. But if you start trapping and blitzing and stuff, then you're really leaving a lot to chance with some really good open three-point shooters.
It's Bobby Corella, Mavs.com. Is there a player you'd like to see more of tonight?
Well, I think Josh Green made a really big impact in the second half. You know, he kind of he always brings a lot of energy and, you know, kind of athleticism in the open floor. And another thing that he did is just run around a lot and force the Clippers into some wild passes, you know, attack the glass. He can jump really, you know, he can jump really, really high. And, you know, if the Clippers are kind of systematically, slowly, methodically picking you apart, then maybe introducing a little bit of chaos in there could be really good. And of course, we know the Clippers this year, top half defense after they make a shot, but they're a bottom 10 defense after they miss a shot, and they're very, very poor defending in transition too. And Josh Green is one of those guys that can turn defense into pretty easy offense because it's just so dang fast in the open floor. So I think that he'll get more minutes. Of course, with Josh, you know, the problem throughout the season is kind of the same as we see with guys like Maxey or Dante or Jones, which is what we've already said. You know, if he misses a couple threes, he is less likely to take that next one when he's open. And then they need the shooters to keep shooting. And if Josh can just find a little bit of confidence and a little bit of rhythm from the perimeter, then he can do everything else in the series needed to get 20 or 30 minutes a night. No doubt about it.
Do you expect to see Kawhi tonight? Seeing the line change in the game makes us all feel like Kawhi might be getting the nod.
I don't know. I mean, he was on camera at shoot around. I've heard all sorts of things ranging from he's definitely playing to I don't know if he's going to play in this series. It just depends on who you ask him today. So I don't know. I mean, if he does play, I'm not really sure if there'll be like a minutes restriction on him. I mean, he hasn't played since March 31st. So, you know, it kind of makes things tough for Dallas because you're prepping to play like 20 or 30 minutes of Kawhi ball and then 20 or 30 minutes of Harden iso ball. And that's two totally different ways of defending. So, you know, the Mavs are going to be up to think on their feet tonight. And, you know, just got to hope for the best for everybody involved.
Chance for Jason Kidd, I think, to take another step and like nailing down a good reputation as a guy who can lose game one and then have the adjustments. Do you have a good idea of what those adjustments could be?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to push the ball more. In the first half, you know, I think they were a little frustrated, annoyed, kind of getting in their feelings a little bit, and they were just playing way too slow. That plays into the Clippers' hands, you know, on both sides of the ball. I think on offense, push the ball off a make or a miss, get out in transition, run the, you know, skip ahead, beat the defense before the defense can get set. And then whenever the Mavs are on defense, put a little pressure on Harden. You know, don't sit back. Hey, Derek Jones, pick him up, not all 94 feet. Josh Green, Dante Exum, play 94 feet of defense. Basically, due to Harden, what the Clippers were doing to Luka, just making the simple act of getting the ball over midcourt, kind of a pain in the butt. You know, and if you can do that, all of a sudden you're wasting their time and wasting Harden's energy. And then also kind of do the Ty Lue thing. Whoever Harden is guarding, go attack him. You know, Luka was attacking Zubats a lot in the first game, and it didn't really work super well. I thought Zubats had a great game at both ends. Let's test out Harden tonight. You know, can he defend Luka? Can he stay in front of Kyrie? And if not, then all of a sudden you're going to force the Clippers to make some pretty uncomfortable decisions. So that's what I would do, but I'm just a guy on the phone with y'all. I'm not the head coach, and, you know, hopefully Jay Kidd can find the answers.
But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, but Bobby, I mean, you kind of laid it out for us, though. The Clippers, when they do miss shots, their defense, their transition defense isn't good enough. You know, is that the simple key tonight is hope that the Clippers don't hit their shots?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you want to force a miss, obviously, make things tough on them. I thought the Mavs did a much better job of just having some more integrity at the point of attack, not getting beaten off the, you know, off the dribble in like one or two bounces. But I mean, you have to rebound as a five-man unit. You know, if the Mavs are going to have a big man on the floor, sometimes that big man is going to be able to scoop up the board, but sometimes he's going to have to box out 300-pound Ivica Zubats.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you're Kyrie Irving, you're Josh Green, Tim Hardaway, PJ Washington. You know, get down there and get the rebound. And then also maybe take some chances too. You know, maybe play the passing lanes a little more, apply a little more ball pressure, force some uncomfortable decisions so that you can maybe force some turnovers and get out in transition. I mean, they were doing all this stuff in the second half, but really a lot of that was nowhere to be found in the first half. Like it really felt like in the first half we were watching the ideal LA Clippers basketball game.
Sure.
In the second half we watched the ideal Dallas Mavericks basketball game. It's just, you know, it just so happens that the Mavs spotted them 30 points before they were able to finally, you know, find a rhythm.
Bobby, you're a treasure for Mavericks fans, and we want to thank you for your expert perspective, and enjoy the game tonight, sir.
Hey, thank you guys. I appreciate you.
Cheers. There he goes. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com here. Joining us once again, game two is tonight in Los Angeles against the Clippers. And I feel like it's a must win, but yeah. This Mavs team can get hot. You know?
Yeah.
It won't be the end of the world, but the history of teams that go down, you know, 2-0, even if you're coming home, it ain't good.
Yeah, I've said it all along. I just don't feel like whoever finds a way to win a game on the visiting team's floor, that's your chance right there.
That's when the series starts, man.
Yeah, I just
series hasn't even started yet.
I would not be surprised if Dallas is 0-2 tonight.
Well, I would not be surprised if Chief has a top 10 for us and Wolchuk's dead.
877-881-1053. Choose your own destiny. Should we celebrate National Picnic Day or should we celebrate Jack Nicholson's birthday? That's next in the Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.